The scripture reading today is from Matthew 5, verses 38 to 48. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer, but if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give him your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of God, of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on good and sends rain on righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Would you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? We thank you, Lord, that it is not simply a recital that we're here for. A reading of ink on paper, a remembrance of something long ago. We're here to remember that you're at work right now, and in each and every breath we take from here on out, you're at work. It's astounding. It's amazing. We can hardly understand it, but it's true. Thank you, Father, for your love for us, your children. And it's in the name of Christ, our risen Savior, that we pray. Amen. There's a story called The Dart Test. And it took place in a seminary classroom. The professor chose one particular student to draw the face of someone that she really disliked. And so she did that with some enthusiasm, actually. The professor then took the picture, and he actually put something behind the picture that she couldn't see and put it up on a dartboard in the classroom and then let her throw darts at it. And she had some vigor and enthusiasm in throwing darts at that picture of someone that she didn't like. Maybe it was even an enemy, I'm not sure. And after she had exhausted all that energy in throwing those darts and filled the picture and riddled it with holes, the professor took off the darts and then slowly took down the drawing that she had made to reveal the face of Jesus Christ. It's easy to be able to show anger at someone that we don't like for some reason, to expend an awful lot of energy focused on hate of that individual. And yet when we remember that they as well are a child of God, it changes the whole complexion of the matter. I'm not saying it's easy. Not at all. There's probably some pictures that I could draw and put on that dartboard. But when we realize that whenever we are showing hate to another child of God, someone that we might not know as a brother or sister, but they are nonetheless, then indeed we're actually showing hate to God. It's a profound thought, powerful, as are these words from the Sermon on the Mount today. Now, you may have come to church today thinking, all right, going to church, gonna be holy. Going to have a nice glow. Got my new cowboy boots on. Paid 50 cents for them at Helping Hand yard sale. Going to pull up my pants. Okay, enough of those. I'm ready to go. I'm cruising. I'm ready. And then of all scriptures, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Yeah, get him, Jesus. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. All right, Jesus, enough. We get the point. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. I'm kind of feeling it on my shoulders, just trying to live that. Just thinking about that. You know, it's something that we are physically confronted with, whenever we drive around Yuma. We have folks that are on the side of the road holding up all sorts of signs. And I've had people that have said to me, oh, Pastor, that's just a scam. Or I know that person and they're well off. They have a lot of money. That's just something that they do. Well, our call, if we listen to the words today, is not that we necessarily have to give to each and every person who's there with a sign. I'm not saying that. But our call is to not judge, clearly. Clearly. To not pass judgment on that child of God. They're equally defined by God, just like we are. We might have a car, a home, a little bit better off, but they're still defined by God as His child as well. So if you choose to give to Him or her, give and then let it go. Don't hold on to that dollar and stretch it out. Don't hold on to that dollar and think about it down the road. Did they really use it for the right purpose? The example that we have says here in His Word today, give if there is need. These words, you see, are impossible apart from the one who is saying them. If this was simply a list of moral imperatives, things that we're supposed to do that are somehow going to make us better, feel better about ourselves, then it's impossible. We might as well forget about them. But they're more than that. They're directions from God incarnate. And they're not just words that were meant to speak to somebody in an ancient time in a far-off place. They were words that were meant to fill ears across the years, across the centuries, falling on our ears today and hopefully changing our hearts as well, to remind us that when we do these things, we are following the example of Jesus, God incarnate. And therefore, we're following God's example in our lives as well. There was a TV show that I used to love to watch, Gomer Pyle, USMC. One of my favorite theologians also, Jim Nabors. And in one particular show, one particular episode, Gomer has found himself at a comedy club and he starts imitating Sergeant Carter. And everybody just absolutely loves it, okay? And everybody can't believe, you know, this performance. And then Sergeant Carter shows up, okay? And he's not particularly happy at first. And then Gomer says those immortal words, "Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, Sergeant Carter." Did that kind of sound like him? Not really at all. It really didn't, actually, but I tried my best. Imitating God is not flattering to God, but it blesses God, if we can imagine that. And these words lay out very clearly how we are called to imitate the one who's given us breath. Imitate God to others, showing God's love. Jesus continues in this sermon. That's not all, folks. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your enemy and love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. God's grace is available to all people. We may not necessarily like that, but it's a truth. It's a reality. It's a biblical truth, a spiritual truth, and we know it. How many times has God blessed you in a way to be able to see his presence in another person that you didn't see his presence in at first? How many times has God blessed you with grace in your own life to be able to experience that feeling of him in you even when you didn't feel as though he was around? God shines and reigns on all of his people. And that means we are all on this journey together. And that means we are called to encourage one another. In those times whenever we feel like it's only raining on us, not just outside, but spiritually, we are called to encourage that person to say, God is still there. In the sunny times, for us to be able to shine that grace on other lives. And most difficult, to be able to do it with someone that we really don't like. You know, there's a phrase that goes, Jesus loves you and he likes you too. There's another phrase that says, God loves you and I'm trying. Hold on to that. You're driving around the area. In the fun that it is in driving around Yuma right now. Maybe that could be your response to certain gestures, things that are said. God loves you, and I'm trying. Have a great day. Be blessed. It's not that it's easy. In fact, it's a very difficult thing. It's a very challenging thing. And we have stories, countless stories of individuals who were reaching out to folks who had caused them or their families great heartache. Individuals who went and visited murderers, somebody had taken the life of a family member, and what they went to do is to tell the story of that family member's life. Our sister in Christ, Reverend Tweedy, had shared that a few weeks ago. It's a very profound offering of forgiveness. Doesn't mean that it's easy, but it is what God asks us to do. And it is what our example, Jesus, did in his life. But to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect, I don't think the perfection here is necessarily about always doing the right thing. I can remember being at my grandmother's in Virginia, and she was kind of proper and had butter knives and a whole list of, you know, lineup of silverware. And I had no idea what to do. I didn't know what to use. I would have used a spoon for everything as far as I was concerned, just to shovel it in. And I can remember one time in particular that actually my dad used something other than the butter knife to get a piece of butter off onto his bread. And my grandmother looked at her son and just kind of gave him this look, and he said, "Oh my gosh, Mom, I lost my head. Sorry." One of the funniest things I'd ever heard. And I couldn't believe my dad actually said it there. And I was just kind of amazed. And he rose in my eyes, actually, after he'd done that. Gave me a lot of freedom to go ahead and make mistakes as well, to screw up and pick up the wrong thing. Perfection is not about getting all of those minute details right, okay? It's about being willing to risk loving others. And there is a risk. When you love others, you might not receive love. When you love others, you might receive something other than love. But Jesus' words here are very clear. He says, you know, if you only love your neighbors, or only love the people that you like hanging out with, or that are like you, what's the big deal? Everybody does that. Anyone can do that. Jesus is saying, if you are truly going to be imitators of God, and therefore imitators of me, what I'm saying and doing, and following my words, and really following them, and seeking to live them, then you know you're not always going to get it right, but you have to at least be willing to love. You know, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. There's that song that Dionne Warwick sang a few years ago. And sometimes love is seen as, a heart-shaped box of candy. You can get those for a really good price right now, I understand. Walmart and Walgreens, possibly. I don't know how good the candy is anymore. But it's something that is very nitty-gritty. And it's something that reminds us that before we throw a dart at that person we don't like, or before we say something that we're going to regret, or before we take an action that can't be taken back, think about Christ's presence, His example, what He asks us to do, and think about God's presence with you right in that very moment, right in that very breath. Sometimes it's difficult. Yeah, it's very difficult to think about God's presence with us at all times and in all places, but it's true for each and every one here. I mean, whether you believe it or not doesn't make it true. God is doing it. It's the greatest truth that we have, that nothing can separate us from His grace, His power, His healing, and His love. I invite you to take a few minutes with me right now as we're thinking about this sermon that Christ offered and His teaching, and therefore His example also. Think about how you're following His example. And this is not a guilt trip. This is not where you have to say, "Oh, I'm not doing a good job." But I'd like you to simply, in this time of discipleship and prayer, say, "Lord, if there are areas where I can be more Christ-like or follow Your example more, show me. Give me the courage to be able to step forward and follow and be that representation of Your love in the world." Be in prayer. Just be open to God's grace right now that's flowing over you. If you didn't think that it was, it is right now, I can guarantee you. Not because I'm saying it, but because that's how God works. Be open to His touch in your life in this moment of prayer.